Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and the one upon whom all of our education rests. We read a portion from God's Word today from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. These are the words of God before us today. Some of you may have seen the movie Everest from 2015 or read the book that predated it. The tale chronicles the 1996 expedition of mountain climbers that attempted to scale Mount Everest. And because of adverse conditions that they suffered, many of the climbers got stranded on the mountain, most of them from coming down from the peak. In total, 8 climbers died in that expedition. The movie and the book describe that one of the biggest elements to this ordeal was the loss of supplemental oxygen along the way. As the mountain climbers were going up, they stashed some tubes of oxygen along the way so that they could use on the way back. And one of the things that happened was that when these tubes came to being used for the people coming back down, they found out that they were either empty or only partially full. Another problem happened near the summit as some of the climbers coming down, when they needed extra oxygen, they couldn't access the tanks because the valves on them had frozen over. No one knows for sure whose mistake these things was, but it surely caused a great deal of disaster in the situation. Climbing to the top of Mount Everest is clearly a dangerous activity. One could fairly compare it to a matter of survival, especially when the problems begin to develop. You're literally on the brink of life or death. You don't have a lot of options if problems ensue. Hearing that story probably brings to mind other well-known survival tales that you can think of. Some end well, some don't. But one thing that all survival stories share is the need for adequate provisions. In the case of climbing Everest, a person needs the right gear. We talked about oxygen, but there's also a jacket and snow pants and the right kind of boots and an ice axe and ropes. Having a mistake in any one of these provisions, when something is a matter of life and death, can prove deadly. In the middle of our text for today, Peter's talking to Christians here, and he talks about supplementing our daily walk of faith with the provisions that God gives. The scene that Peter depicts on the surface is hardly a matter of life and death, hardly a matter of a survival situation, and yet when we dig deeper in the Bible and we learn more about our faith and what God has to say about it, we do realize that it is a matter of life and death. Likewise, the typical domains of Christian education that we think of, church, home, and school, hardly appear to be realms of survival. And yet, because of our sin, they are. To help us along the way, God gives us supplementary provisions to help us survive. They strengthen and encourage our faith. They protect our faith against danger. And they help us survive as we reach heaven. Peter tells us in the opening verses, in verses 1 through 4, where these gifts come from. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did for us in his grace and mercy, we have a sure foundation upon which we can stand when our lives are tested, when we're in a survival situation. Verse 4 reads, "By which Jesus has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire." Because we have Jesus to rely on, we can have confidence that God will supplement our faith with these provisions and that they will stand the test in order to sustain that faith. And Peter, at the end of these verses, brings it all the way back to Christian education. He says these are the reasons why we grow and learn about Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's foolish for somebody who knows that to neglect what God offers. It's through Christian education that we use these provisions and share them with others. And as we point out often, Christian education involves far more than just the school that we have here at Redemption. We may see our Christian day school as the natural face of Christian education here, and we can certainly see why that would be the case. And the Bible certainly gives special priority to teaching and training children in the Word of God. Yet Christian education must also take place in other forms of life. Parents need to be active in instructing and reinforcing the Word of God at home. Parents need to be proactive in bringing their children to church. Without parents on board, pastors and teachers will accomplish very little. And even the things that pastors and teachers can get across to children in school or in church will end up meaning very little if parents are not also with them. Children also need to assume responsibility and maturity as they grow in Christian education. We speak of confirmation age as the time when a child takes ownership of their faith and their confession. And this is a high and important calling that we should treasure and respect as coming from God. And finally, adults need to take responsibility for their faith as well. That's usually how children learn to be mature in their own faith and to take ownership of it, is by watching the adults in their lives. This is perhaps the hardest area of Christian education because it's the area where we are also most vulnerable, and it's an area where God says we need to be personally responsible. It's well documented by both experience and by studies that the early periods of adulthood are the times when people are most vulnerable in their faith. It's not a coincidence that this period in one's life coincides with taking ownership and responsibility of their faith in Jesus Christ. And that means making time for God's Word. As parents, we need to set that example for our children. And as children, we need to be willing to step up to that and learn and grow in the Lord's Word. The need to take responsibility in making time for God's Word is very much like taking provisions along a survival journey. But far too often, young people are trained in our world to feel and act as if they are impervious to any spiritual danger. Having that kind of attitude is like trying to climb Mount Everest without respecting the danger at hand. God says, don't do it. Don't fall into the lies of the world that tell you that your own personal strength is all you need to succeed in life. When you see Christians who are struggling in their faith, when you see younger members who don't quite know what path to walk in taking ownership of their faith, walk alongside them and be a mentor, guide them and be with them. We need to approach our faith as if it is a matter of survival because the Lord tells us that it is. In order to appreciate Christian education, we need to look beyond the Christian day school classroom or the Sunday school room. And so we consider the provisions that God says he supplements our faith with. Peter writes, the first is virtue. Virtue is having a moral excellence. It's doing what is right and good in the eyes of God. Peter goes on to say that'll give way to knowledge. Knowledge is not just knowing something about a topic, but having the wisdom to practice it as well. Peter says that that leads to self-control, which is the ability to exercise control over one's desires. That leads to perseverance, which is the capacity to remain resilient against the tests and temptations that you face in life. Peter says that moves on to godliness, which is the appropriate belief and expression about God. It's really what worship is in both the words that we speak and the actions that we perform. Peter says this will lead to brotherly kindness, which is a special kind of affection towards our Christian brothers and sisters in the church. And finally, Peter ends by saying that will culminate in love, which is really the model of self-sacrifice that comes from Christ himself. These are the provisions, Peter says, that God gives us here on this earth in our quest and in our process of Christian education. But look around the world. Where do we see a lack of these provisions? It's typically in adults, not children. So often we think that children are the ones who need so much and they need to continue to learn, but really it's adults that need a lot too. And when children suffer in these areas, when they don't exercise and have these provisions in their life, it's usually because of a connection of some kind to an adult in their life. Think more of how many of these provisions are cherished in the world around us today. You might think that most people, whether they're Christian or not, consider these things to be good. But when you think about what God is getting at with these specific gifts, it's a lot more than just what the world around us tends to practice in a general concept of good. It helps to think of the opposite of these things, of these virtues that God lists, to really see the ways in which many in the world are deficient in them. In contrast to virtue, the opposite is self-expression and glory. In contrast to knowledge, the opposite is making decisions based on your own personal feelings. In contrast to self-control, there is desire and lust. In contrast to perseverance, we see attitudes of impatience and unfaithfulness. In contrast to godliness, we see vanity and idolatry. In contrast to brotherly kindness, there is anger. And also what comes along with that, when we realize that God is talking about kindness towards one another in the faith, is a disregard for brothers and sisters in the church. And finally, in contrast to love, there is certainly hate. Just within the last year, in our nation, we've seen a monumental rise in hate, anger, self-expression, worldliness, and idolatry. Unfaithfulness to the Lord and His Word have been around for a long time. But what we're seeing, especially in more recent times in our world, is that our society is distancing itself more and more from these provisions that the Lord offers in His Word. Listen to the news or look online, and it seems that people have completely forgotten how to speak to one another in kindness, especially when they're in a disagreement with somebody or when they're approaching someone who they might call their enemy. Cities in our nation are currently occupied by mobs and riots, and so many people talk about that like it's an okay thing, like it's acceptable to express oneself in such a way. Businesses are torched and looted. Poor people in our societies continue to be overlooked and forsaken in the wake of greed and the pursuit of getting as much as I can for myself. We see in our world that stress, anxiety, and a host of other mental health issues are skyrocketing in our population. If an image could be given to describe the world around us today, it would be an exhausted, weary, and near to death wanderer. This is a matter of survival. These are the life-giving promises of God, just as Peter writes. And we need this reminder from God, especially in our world today, that He gives us these things to supplement our faith for our survival. And He does this through our gracious Savior, Jesus. The chief of all gifts that God extends through His Son is obviously the forgiveness of sins, what Jesus in His ministry described as the water of life and the bread of life. Certainly something that is worthy to sustain us as we wander like exiles here in this world. This is exactly what weary travelers around our world and in our communities need. But God tells us here in His Word through Peter that in addition to the forgiveness of sins through Christ, He offers us even so much more in His rich grace. Virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These are not outdated, traditional, hokey Christian concepts. They are necessary provisions for survival. If you're wondering how important Christian education is, look in the world around you. Turn on the news, read the paper, peruse the outlet of your own choosing online. We are desperate people living in a desperate world, all of us, because we're sinners. We are struggling to survive. And God says He's giving us a lifeline here. He's giving us the greatest gifts imaginable for free. Let us use them. Let us teach our children about the core subjects of school, science, math, language, reading, history, and so on. But let us also teach them about God. Let us teach them about their Savior. Let us make use of Sunday school and Bible studies here at church and gathering around God's Word regularly and partaking in the sacraments with one another. Let us not neglect those gifts from God, but rather let us make them a priority. Let us have the mindset of putting the things that God is offering here, the provisions of survival, at the top of the list of our priorities. So often what happens in our lives is that we talk about God and we confess to believe in Him, but distraction after distraction come into our lives. And so often we put God aside in place of other things. But as we recognize the importance of Christian education today, let us have the opposite mindset, that when other things come in our lives to distract us, to suck up our time, to become priorities, let us put those things aside in place of God. Maybe the lack of these, of being able to witness these provisions in our world, has a little bit of something to do with us as Christians not making use of them in our lives. Should we be surprised to see a world around us that is spiraling into destruction and chaos, that seems to have no concept of truth, justice, or morality, if we allow cynicism and unbelief about God to predominate in the world? We have to lead the way as Christians in Christian education. And so we talk about Christian education in the home and in the church and in the school. But today I would propose a fourth area, and that is our society. The provisions that God gives us are for our communities and our world as well. It may be challenging for us as Christians to emphasize salvation in Christ alone in a pluralistic culture around us, but it is possible through God, and He promises that when we share His Word, He will do the work for us. If we are seeing hurt and divisiveness in the world today, why not offer people what Jesus called the one thing needed? Let us be at the forefront of stepping up to the task of Christian education in our world and in our communities and sharing these provisions through Jesus Christ. The world around us today may seem worse off than ever before. We may begrudge the year 2020 on several levels and for several reasons. But for the Christian, It's never within our faith to despair of God's work, because He promises to sustain us no matter how weary our journey becomes. Each of us personally knows the peril and struggle of being a sinner here in this world and trying to walk by God through faith. We are faced with our own sins just as much as the most unrighteous and unholy people we can imagine. And so we know this story of survival well. Peter summarizes and says, there is one hope for all people. He writes, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. Christian education is our high and holy privilege to use God's truth in our lives and to share it with the world around us, and it will sustain us in this path of survival. In days when people are so desperate for meaning and hope, let us give Christ with joy and faithfulness. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.